Going Linux, Episode 58, Computer America, Number 11. I'm Larry Bushy, the host of Going Linux.
And I'm your co-host, Tom. Going Linux is an internet audio program, a podcast, for computer users who just want to use Linux to get things done.
Whether you are new to Linux, moving from Windows, or just thinking about going Linux, this audio program will provide you with practical, day-to-day advice on how to use your Linux computer. Our goal is to help make the Linux experience easy for you.
Each month, we publish three episodes. We begin the month with a listener feedback episode. In our feedback episodes, we read listener email, play listener-generated audio, and answer listener questions.
On the third Tuesday of each month, I appear live on the Computer America radio show. We post those episodes, minus the commercials, as Going Linux episodes.
Our user experience episodes appear near the end of each month. In them, we normally take 2 months to explore a topic related to Linux. During the first month, we introduce the topic for new Linux users and recent converts.
During month two, we discuss the same topic from a more advanced perspective for computer users building their confidence and competence with Linux. This is my 11th appearance on the Computer America radio show from February 17th, 2009.
Live, it's America's longest-running national radio talk show on computers, Computer America, hosted by national columnist Craig Crossman. Look for Craig's weekly column in your favorite newspaper. This show is being beamed nationwide by the Business Talk Radio Network, the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network, and on the internet at ComputerAmerica.com. Keep it here for technology news, computer products, guest interviews, and your phone calls. You're listening to Computer America.
Hello and welcome into the Computer America show. It's the nation's longest-running, nationally syndicated radio talk show on computers. It's Tuesday, the 17th of February, 2009, and I'm your host, Craig Crossman.
I'm your co-host, Carrie Holzman.
And, boy, I understand you had a good show last night, Carrie.
I have a good show every night. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, it's my first show of the week. I had the weekend off and still didn't get to see Push, you know. I had some friends come in from out of town, and they wanted me to join them. And so one thing, before I knew it, the weekend was over, and I still haven't seen the movie. But I will try to get, maybe see it during the week or something, maybe in a matinee or, I don't know. Might have to be till next weekend, you know. Also, Watchmen is just around the corner, too. I'm looking forward to seeing that movie as well. That looks pretty good. You said you wouldn't go to see Push, but you might go see Watchmen, right?
Yeah, you know, we'll see. I don't know. I don't know. Previous those movies like Sin, what was it, Sin City?
Sin
or something?
City, yeah. No, that's, yeah.
And 300, yeah. I don't know. I haven't really went away from either one of those movies feeling like
Push isn't
it was worth seeing in the theater for $10 a ticket.
Push isn't like that one, but
well,
I think
no,
Watchmen,
but Watchmen is, and that's why I bring it up. Yeah. It's the same, I think it's the same guy, but I don't know. I mean, it's sort of... There really haven't been anything, no good movies as far as I'm concerned since 2009. I'm still waiting for a 2009.
Which one are you waiting for?
I don't know. Star Trek.
Give
me
good.
Something.
Yeah. Okay.
they're all like these Academy Award pictures, you know, these the artsy movies that you know whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Gran Torino with Clint Eastwood and Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah, those are good.
I'm not sophisticated enough to appreciate those movies.
Just
give me some action.
Well, that's what Watchmen is. It's all action, you know. So and Push is
but it's stylized.
And Push isn't stylized. That's action too. So we'll see that. Well, we'll see.
And I don't know much about Push. I started to watch Eagle Eye, but that seems so slow and boring. I ended up turning it off.
Really? It was a pay per view for me. I watched the whole thing. I enjoyed it. It was
I watched about 20 minutes and said, "This isn't going anywhere." And
Well, you should go back, give it a little bit more, pick it up again.
Oh, I will when I'm in the mood. But yeah. At the time, it was like.
You know who the woman's voice is, though. Do you at least know that?
Nope.
Okay. Well, should I give you a hint or not?
No, wait till I
Okay. I think you'll like it. It's a technology picture, and you really should watch it. I think you'll like it. All right. I'm getting some suggestions for other movies that we're going to go see. But all right. Well, listen, you know, I think we should get right to it, unless you have anything else you want to add before we get to things here.
I'm ready.
You're ready. Okay. Well, you know, we here at Computer America have specialty shows. We'll dedicate them because we have specialty shows. Yeah?
We did want to mention the thing about the archives.
You want to mention that first? Okay.
Yeah, let's get that out of the way.
We got tons of email. There was a problem with the Friday Night Archive, and then when I went ahead and I left the message over at the network because we don't have any control over that. I said, fix the Friday Archive. Well, evidently they got the message and they fixed it, but they only fixed hour one. So so hour one's working, but I have to go back tomorrow and call them, and I'll probably have to spell it out for them and fix hour two. So I would have hoped that when they checked 1 hour, they would have checked the other, but they didn't. So hour one is still available.
Like I said, after I received the first dozen emails on Friday, I thought, I just reassured everybody, should be back on Monday. Emails coming on Saturday.
Look, I don't want to diss them that way because, quite frankly, they've been doing a fairly good job in keeping it up. Yes, they have.
It's been a long time since this happened.
The network is doing a terrific job there, and I don't want people to think that they're doing a bad job. They're not. They're doing an excellent job. But this happened, and it's like anything else where there's the human element involved. You can get a glitch can occur, and someone can forget. So we'll take care of it. It'll get that done. All right. So about specialty shows, we here at Computer America, when we have there's a particular topic or subject, we dedicate an entire program to that particular subject. Let me give you some examples. We usually have Tuesdays focused on that. Like we'll have hard drives is of great interest, and we have Scott Moulton usually joins us on the fourth Tuesday of the month. Computer gaming is a big hot topic, so usually we have computer gaming on the second Tuesday of the month. We dedicate both hours. Well, another very important thing in the world of computers is the Linux operating system. It continues to become more and more popular, especially in the wake of Microsoft's Windows Vista. A lot of people just weren't happy with it. Of course, Windows 7 is around the corner, but that's not the point here. It's caused a lot of people to look for alternative operating systems and not falling back to the Windows XP. But Linux is an option. It's out there. But a lot of people want to know, hey, is Linux right for me? It's an important operating system. We think the topic's important. So on every third Tuesday of the month, which is tonight, we devote the entire show to the subject of Linux in order to answer questions like, is it right for me? Should I stick with it? How do I do it? Where do I go? Or if you're a Linux expert and you want to talk to some of the people who are experts on the topic of Linux or make a contribution to it, this certainly is nice for you to do that. You can give us a call, join in. Joining us for our Linux show every third Tuesday of the month is Larry Bushy. Larry is the creator and the host of the Going Linux podcast. So I guess that qualifies him to be our Linux expert. Hey, Larry, welcome back into Computer America.
Thank you. Such a build-up. Wow. Great to be here again.
Yeah, absolutely.
No pressure.
No, I could have given you a big fanfare if you want. No, I won't do that.
Is that an open source fanfare?
Yeah, I can't use that on my podcast. There's a copyright on that.
I think so. Yeah, exactly. And speaking of movies. But so, yeah, and then, of course, Larry, we've got all kinds of topics of things we're going to focus on tonight, and we'll do that. But again, I want to let our listeners know that even though we have topics and specific things that we're talking about on Linux, and basically I guess the topic for tonight is going to be Don't Fear the Penguin.
Right.
And this is not a Batman movie or a Batman character when we say that. But if you have a question or if you have a comment or if you want to get involved with our show on Linux tonight, you can. We offer several ways of doing that. You can call us toll-free, 866-606-TALK. That's 866-606-8255. That number will get you on and get you through. Or you can send us an email if you want to comment that way. You don't want to go on the air, you're radio shy. This is a great way to do it. You just send an email to live, that's L-I-V-E, at computeramerica.com. We'll get that immediately. And another really terrific way to interact with us is our Computer America Live chat room. And the way you do that is you go to our website at computeramerica.com, and on the left-hand side of the screen, you'll see a little box there that says chat with us. There's a place for you to put in a username. That's the name you'll be known by when you go into the chat room. People will see you by that username. There's a room for a password there, but you don't need a password. It's totally optional. You don't need it. The password is there if you want to reserve that username that you're putting in so nobody else could use it ever again. That's the only purpose of that. Anyway, when you're there, you then you put your username in, you click the login button that's right there, and then you have to have a Java-enabled browser, and most of them are today. It could be on a Macintosh, it could be on a Windows system, Vista, Linux, it all works. It'll move you directly into the Computer America chat room where myself, Carrie, and our guest tonight, Larry Bushy, is participating as well. And it's we're easily identifiable. Carrie and I are in avatars are red, and Larry is the green avatar because he is, in fact, the guest for tonight. So that's how you interact with us here on the Computer America show. Lots of ways of doing that. And what do you mean when you say don't fear the penguin? You know, I keep thinking of that character, you know, from Batman. What was it? What's his name? The actor.
Penguin.
You know, the actor,
oh,
though.
Oh, the actor.
Come on. No, Danny DeVito. Oh. Thank you. I was thinking Burgess Meredith from TV, but Danny DeVito, Kevin, my librarian here in Bordoff, has a wonderful way of knowing this stuff off the top of his head. But Danny DeVito did a really scary penguin. But that's not – he wasn't thinking Linux when we saw that.
No, not at all.
What do you mean don't fear the penguin?
Well, for the uninitiated, let's start with why a penguin. And the penguin is the official mascot of the Linux operating system. And so as a topic for tonight, don't fear the penguin is give it a try. There's nothing to be afraid of, and we'll help you do that. So like you said, if you want to ask a question in the chat room or you want to make a phone call into the show and ask a question, well, help you.
There you go. All right. So don't fear the penguin. That's the topic for tonight. And again, we talk. We have emails as well from people who have written and asked questions about that. But so I guess when you say don't fear the penguin, what we're kind of slanting our Linux talk tonight is toward the beginner, because obviously an expert is not afraid of the penguin. He's embraced it, probably feeds it once a day in the cage, or twice maybe. But the novice is
right.
What would you say to the novice who was using Windows and, you know, was kind of blissfully, you know, happy that things are working along? Why would they want to even try Linux if they're happy with Windows? Or maybe they don't know that they're happy. Who knows?
Well, whether they're happy or not, eventually they will have to upgrade something. And that means they'll have to spend some money, either to upgrade the Windows operating system itself, or perhaps they want to take advantage of the features of something like the new version of Office, I think it's 2007 or something like that, and in which case they would have to go out and buy a copy of Office 2007, or at least an upgrade version of it, to install on their computer. And then on some computers, they might actually have to upgrade Windows to be able to use the new version of Office, depending on what version of Windows they're currently using, which is even more money. And in these tough economic times, people just don't want to do that. And quite frankly, most folks don't spend the money to upgrade their operating system. They might upgrade a program if they find that the upgrade has some features that they want to use. But they typically don't upgrade their operating system on an existing machine. They'll go out and buy a brand new machine. And if they find that they don't want to go out and buy a brand new machine or spend the money on an upgrade, but they want to take advantage of some new stuff that's out there, they want to experiment around, and they don't want to spend any money doing it, Linux is a great alternative for that because it's free of charge. And there are a number of different options to choose from, some of them very friendly to new Linux users who are moving from Windows to Linux, and some that are geared to the expert. And those various versions are available either on CD or for a download, and you can burn your own CD.
All right, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break, and then we'll continue on with this. This is the Computer America Show. Don't Fear the Penguin is this topic for tonight. We're kind of focusing toward a beginner's point of view for the Linux operating system, both hours of the show. Of course, if you're an expert, though, we can certainly deal with that as well. Come on, join us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network, 866-606-TALK. The toll-free number, live at ComputerAmerica.com or the chat room at ComputerAmerica.com. Oh, I just discovered another sci-fi TV series that I think I caught the second to the last one, Carrie. I don't know if you've seen it, but they have it on Hulu, and I'm gonna start watching the episode. It's called Fringe. Have you heard of that? It's on Fox.
Yeah, not really my thing. I know they started another one called Dollhouse, which I think the guy who did Joss Whedon, who did
That's Firefly. Firefly.
Exactly.
I love that TV series. That was great. I had the DVD, and then of course the movie itself, which was Serenity. You know, good film. I think I've caught the second to the last episode, and now for the next 2 weeks it's not on because I think it interferes with one of the upcoming speech from Obama, and then there's something else going on, some other events. So I'm going to have to start watching the back episodes on Hulu. That's kind of nice, being able to use Hulu and see back episodes like that with limited commercial interruption, too, which is kind of nice. In the meantime, if you're just joining us, we are talking Linux all tonight. With Larry Bushy, he is the what does he do with he has a Linux Going Linux podcast. That's okay. He's got he does something with Linux. He has the Going Linux podcast, and he's joining with us both nights tonight. And in this particular case, we're kind of addressing it toward more of the beginner who's thinking about getting into Linux. But again, I say to you, we've got 2 hours of Linux. If you have a specific Linux question or something that's more expert, if you will, we will more on an expert level, or even anywhere in the middle. You know, we're here to talk about Linux tonight. We dedicate the third Tuesday of every month to the subject of Linux, and we'll continue to do so. So we were just talking about Don't Fear the Penguin, which is basically the topic for tonight, and you were starting to give recommendations, and why I asked you why basically someone wouldn't want to try Linux if they're using Windows and they're blissfully sort of happy about it and don't need to, you know, and everything seems to be working, you know, if it ain't broke, why fix it, you know, and you've coupled with some reasons as to why. Now, Carrie, I know you dabble in Linux at all or what?
I have, yeah. And I haven't truthfully enjoyed it at all. I've got Linux that came on a EEE PC that's very limited in what I can do with it. And
that's the reason people, you know, look, Larry, Carrie's obviously very technically proficient with Windows and the hardware, and his first impression of Linux is that it's...
Well, we're not talking first impressions now. I mean, I've looked at it over the years.
Okay.
It's gotten better. But it's not right for me.
Is it the distribution? Maybe he's using the wrong distribution. If he feels limited somehow, maybe he should get something that's more Windows-like in the Linux arena.
Sure Windows-like is going to be the best for Kerry, but I think it could be the specific distribution that he's using. And the distribution that's on the EEE PC is not your average Linux. It has an interface that's been designed specifically for the EEE PC and for, quite frankly, a novice user, and Carrie, you're anything but an office user. And so that may be part of your frustration, is the fact that the baby interface that's on there, and I know there will be people who will argue with me over that, but that's kind of what it is. It's a dumbed-down interface that they're using, and I don't think that that's something that they should be doing, quite frankly. They don't have to do that. I think they have been trying to make it a little more personable to people who may feel intimidated by Linux. But with today's Linux distributions, the user interface, which is the first thing you see, it's the desktop, it's the menus, it's the taskbar. No matter which distribution you choose, it's going to be very, very similar to Windows these days. And I think with a different distribution of Linux, even on that AAA PC, Gary, you'd probably find it a little better experience. And
you know, I'll tell you, my frustration is in the limitation of not being able to put the software I want on there. The limitation of, for example, I've got a Garmin GPS and not being able to put the Garmin web updater on it, not being able to run my Peachtree software on it, not being able to run a number of applications that I count on a day-to-day basis for business or for pleasure that simply don't offer a Linux option. So I have to stick with Windows in order to use those applications, and it's not an option for me to live without updating my Garmin GPS or to live without invoicing my clients or to have to, you know, use another product and have to learn it when I could be working on a system billing a client rather than learning some other system when I've got no... I think the issue is, why would you go to Linux? Like, I'm very happy with XP. If I was upset with it... Well, I'll tell you more about this when we come back. Stay with us. We'll be right back. More Computer America, all Linux, coming up.
It's 34 minutes after the hour here on the Computer America Show, 866-606-TALK, the toll-free number, live at ComputerAmerica.com or our chat room at ComputerAmerica.com. Larry Bushy, he does the Going Linux podcast. He's the creator and the host of the Going Linux podcast, is with us for both hours as we dedicate this, the third Tuesday of the month, to the topic of Linux. So, Carrie, you were just right in the middle of something when we had to go to break, and you want to pick it up?
Well, yeah, my point was about Linux. It's not my place, and I don't want to be, and I'm sure that as I say it, I'm being misunderstood that I'm opposed to Linux. I'm certainly not opposed to it. The Mac is right for some people. It's not right for me. The Linux operating system is right for some people. It's not right for me. But I can say that because I've tried it, and I think people out there, and I encourage people out there to try it to see if it will work for them, because if it will, it may be a more pleasant computing experience for them. For me, because of the industry that I'm in and because I'm supporting Windows-based computers, it's in my best interest to run Windows, to be familiar with the problems that people have so I can fix them. Because let's face it, Windows is still the most popular platform out there. No matter, you know, we convince a few people tonight to change to Linux. That's all well and good.
Yep.
But when they call the show asking for a question, I'm going to say, I'm sorry, I can't answer it. You'll have to wait for Larry to come on the show, and he can answer your Linux question for you because I don't know anything about it, because there's no money to be made in it, not for me and what I do, dealing with consumer computers, your average consumer is running Windows, and dealing with the majority of businesses, small and medium-sized, that I've dealt with anyway, are all running Windows-based computers. That's where the money is, and it's in my best interest to always run Windows all the time, so that I'm completely familiar with the inner workings, the heart and soul of it, so it makes me a more efficient, more proficient technician.
Yeah, and here on the show, we cover it. You're in the Windows area, and of course I'm on the Mac side, and we have some overlap going on there, but primarily between those two platforms, we have basically defined the basis of the personal.
But my point is, it doesn't matter what flavor of Linux I'm going to use, Larry. I don't think it's going to change my mind. Because even if I was I would put it this way, if there was some way that Linux could do everything I needed it to do and run the software I need it to run, I could probably convince all of my customers to switch over to it. But then I might be shooting myself in the foot, because once I get it installed, I may not have any more work for them.
Sure. I certainly understand your position, and it's definitely a fair position to take in your case. And I think as far as the money thing is concerned, income from Linux, the support for Linux is probably not going to be something to generate a lot of income to you or anyone else supporting computers until it becomes much more popular.
It is becoming more popular. In all fairness, let's face it, there's more Linux users out there today than ever before.
Yes, and it's a growing population of people trying it, liking it, and finding that it works for them. And your experience with finding software that doesn't have an equivalent on Linux is not uncommon, and that will turn people off, especially if there's something that they absolutely rely on for personal use or, more importantly, for business use, and it just doesn't run on Linux. However, there are other options for people who do want to use Linux for the fact that the operating system insulates you from viruses and spyware much better than an unprotected version of Windows does. And obviously, anyone who is paying attention is going to protect their Windows installation with anti-spyware and antivirus software. But you don't need to install that to the same degree as you do you don't need to install it on Linux to the same degree that you do on Windows. And the options for people who can't find the software that they're running on Windows today is to either dual boot their computer or to run either Linux in a virtual machine under Windows or the other way around, run Windows in a virtual machine under Linux.
Well, I'll tell you what. All right, we're going to take a little break, just 60 seconds, and then we'll head right on back and continue on. This is the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. 866-606-TALK. We'll get you on. We'll be right back with more. 60 seconds. Stay with us.
America Show, live on the Business and Lifestyle Talk Radio Networks this evening. This entire show is dedicated to Linux, talking with Larry Bushy, the creator, founder, host, co-host of the Going Linux podcast. And you can, of course, download the Going Linux podcast at goinglinux.com. And current and previous episodes are all free for you to download and listen to. If you'd like to learn more about Linux, there's just a vault of information there for you, for your taking. And, of course, we'll have the link to that in our show notes. And we're just talking about, you know, I get a little uncomfortable when the focus gets turned to me on Linux because, as I mentioned, a lot of people that listen to the show think that I'm opposed to it. And I don't want to make it clear that I'm not opposed to it. It's not right for me. I've tried it. It doesn't fit for the reasons that I've already explained. But that doesn't mean that it's going to be wrong for you, the listener. And it's like food. You know, it's like I explained. I could be a professional chef, and I can cook up a plate of chicken wings, and you can say, are these chicken wings hot? And I'm the professional chef. You're just an eater. And I say, no, they're not hot. And you think, well, I must know what I'm talking about because I'm a professional chef. Therefore, I must be right. And you bite into them, and they're spicy and hot to you. Does that mean I'm wrong? Well, no. It just means that you felt it was hot. For whatever reason, it was spicy for your taste buds or whatever it is. Maybe you don't even like it. Maybe I tell you, this is the best dish I make, and everybody loves it. I guarantee you're going to love it, and you bite into it, and you don't like it. But I'm a professional chef, right? So I know what I'm talking about. But ultimately, all that matters is your own opinion. And the only way you're ever going
to
have your own opinion
isn't by
it's not by listening to what Carrie likes or what Larry likes or what Craig likes.
You have to listen to what I like.
About saying these guys are giving us information on how we can try it. They're giving us the recipe so that we can try it safely without causing any harm or damage to our computers.
Yes.
That's what they should be taking from this.
Right, and I don't think, personally, I have heard people, and people have commented to me that you don't sound like you like Linux, but I don't take it that way. I don't take it personally.
No, and it's very, and you know how frustrating that is for me? Yeah, let me explain something, Larry. The whole idea of having a Linux dedicated show was whose idea? Craig?
Yours.
Yeah.
It was my idea.
Yeah, it was.
So when we have a Linux expert come on the show,
he's guilty as charged.
And the listeners think that I don't like Linux. It's frustrating for me because, you know, it was my idea. Who invited Larry on the show? So that's the whole point I'm trying to get to is to our listeners. And it seems like it's not the regular listeners. It seems like it's the Linux. Like sometimes when we have Linux shows, we get these Linux users that just come in the chat room. It's the only show they listen to. And that's great. I have no problem with that. But because they're not a regular listener of the show, they don't really know me, and they're just taking what I'm saying without any sort of context, and they're just saying, well, you know, this guy doesn't like it. And it's so frustrating for me, Larry. Craig starts asking us, well, let's see, Carrie, what about Linux? I go, oh, boy, here we go.
Yeah.
I have this battle to fight with the listeners again.
And, you know, from the way you describe it, Carrie, I agree that Linux isn't for you. You've got all the reasons for not using it. You have software that you rely on.
Well, here's another example. I've got an EEE PC. Okay, yeah. And I put Linux Bang on it because Windows XP ran so darn slow. Mm-hmm. But I do think that these netbooks, Linux is perfect for these netbooks, generally speaking, because of their limited capability as far as being able to put this kind of software. I don't want to put Photoshop on a netbook, right? So being able to put something low weight, less resource intensive, I put the Linux back on it. However, we use a piece of software here for the show called Soundbite. And the Soundbite is what enables us to do the commercials and the breaks and stuff for the show. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if I could just use this netbook as dedicated as sort of a soundboard for the show? But the Soundbite software is only available for Mac and Windows.
Having said that, though, that you're falling into the trap of some people trying Linux. And that is, and this may not be an option for you since you're using this on a professional radio station. It may be that the file format isn't going to be compatible, but oftentimes people will be turned off to Linux because they say, my program won't run on Linux, so I can't use Linux. And you need to think a little differently when starting to use a new operating system. Even switching to a Mac, your program might not work on a Mac, but there is other software that will play audio files on Linux. And on most
But it's not just playing audio files. It actually has a sound banks. Mm-hmm. Right? And I can say, at this time, play this one. At this time, in this many seconds, play this one.
Right.
So that they all fire off at the appropriate time automatically.
Exactly.
Our producer used to do back in the day. Yeah. We used to have a producer that would push the buttons. And we've taken that element out of the show and automated it.
And again, your software is unique. It's a niche piece of software for broadcasting.
Yeah.
And, yes, it isn't available for Linux. And if Linux has a big weakness, that's it. It's the fact that software manufacturers, or software publishers, rather, and hardware manufacturers don't typically write their software or create their hardware with Linux in mind. Some do. Some do a very good job of making their software or their hardware cross-platform compatible, and it works with Windows, Mac, and Linux, and I applaud those manufacturers. But let's face it, Linux is a very small, piece of the computer market, and many of these hardware manufacturers choose not to or maybe even can't afford to provide the support on Linux and so don't support it. So typically what happens is the Linux community itself, those people using Linux, will develop the hardware support or the software for Linux and write it themselves. And unfortunately, if it's a niche piece of software, there aren't enough users of it to spend the time to actually create it for Linux. Very popular software gets written for Linux very quickly. And many of those publishers may not support Linux, but the Linux community comes up with an alternative or a community-created version of that software that may be endorsed by the publisher of the software, or it may not. But there are typically, for the average computer user, there are typically mountains of software out there available for Linux that works just fine. And, Carrie, unfortunately, I think the way you use a computer and the fact that you rely on it for work in supporting Windows, it's not going to work for you unless you just want to carry that netbook around to check email when you're going somewhere. And typically,
if you look at your average user, mm-hmm. they're not doing what I'm doing.
That's right.
That's why whether or not I use it is irrelevant.
Yes.
It doesn't mean I don't like it. It doesn't mean that I don't support it or promote it. It just means that for what I use a computer for today, and with the way it's developed today, it's just not going to fit my needs. Now, my needs may change or the operating system may change, and maybe one day they'll mesh together, at least maybe for one thing. But right now, so far anyway, I haven't been let down by Windows XP to a point where I felt like, you know, I got to get rid of it. I don't have problems with spyware. I don't have problems with viruses. I keep my Windows updated. I keep my security. I haven't had an infection in years. I can't remember the last time I've had one on my computer. I haven't had a blue screen in a long time, right? I mean, and I'm not your average user, exactly. And your average user doesn't even use their computer, probably 10% of what I use mine for. Your average user, at least ones that I repair, they're checking email primarily. That's their main thing. And again, I'm dealing with a lot of retired folks. Sure. Email's very, very important for them. They like to get on the web. They like to create their little greeting cards or their create a card. They like Family Tree Maker. They like to do their genealogy. And they like to play solitaire. I mean, that's pretty much it.
Yep.
And for the most part, they probably could get away with Linux.
Oh, absolutely. Mm. And if they're the typical user, then just about anything would work for them. Even the software that comes on the Triple E PC, the Linux software that's there, and they might actually find that more pleasant for them to use because, again, they're not the the advanced user who's looking to use it for something a little bit different. But Linux is for everybody, I think, in general. Not the specific user. There are certain people it's not for, but for a wider variety of audience than maybe folks are thinking about at this point, and I'd like to help them at least give it a try.
Absolutely. And so they should. And like I said, especially if you're getting a new computer and you really don't want Vista and Microsoft won't sell you XP, what a great way to stick it back to them and just use Linux. We're going to take another break. Another segment of Computer America coming right up. Stay with us.
And we just want to congratulate this week's Buddy List winner is Freddie Hill. Freddie wins the Logitech Wave keyboard, which is a very nice keyboard. And he also wins a copy of PC Tools Internet Security Suite. That's PC Tools' all-in-one security suite featuring their award-winning anti-spyware, antivirus, firewall, and spam protection. All-in-one, that's right. And plus, this is new, Freddie wins a copy of Steganos Privacy Suite. To keep your private data from falling into the wrong hands, the solution is Steganos Privacy Suite, which is a collection of their security products, including Password Manager, Safe, and Shredder. Steganos Privacy Suite takes data security to a whole new level of protection. So don't forget, if you're not in the subscribe to the Buddy List, it's really simple. Just go to ComputerAmerica.com, and the left-hand side there, it just says, get on our Buddy List. You know, that's the one. It's right there. And when you do, every Monday you'll receive our weekly show reminder. That's our email newsletter that gets delivered fresh and piping hot into your email inbox. And you have access to exclusive contests like the Friday Buddy List winners. We have Steve Bass's Tech Byte newsletter link is in there as well. We have that, and we have we announced, of course, the Buddy List winner not only on the show, but we have that reprinted in the show reminder. And, of course, most importantly, the entire lineup of programs for that coming week. It is the only place where you can see the total lineup of shows. We don't even have that on the website, and we do that purposely because we want to have some unique content in the show reminder. It is all free. We don't give your name or anything out to anybody. We keep it private. When you get on a Buddy List, right there it says you put in your email and you put your first and last name and then click the join button. Just want to let you know that when you do that, you're still not on the Buddy List. You get a confirmation email to which you must reply. It's a double opt-in system. We do that because we want to make sure that it is, in fact, you who wants to be on the Buddy List and not someone else putting you on there in your behalf. Or you might not want that. So you just go ahead and reply to the confirmation email, and then you are, in fact, on the Buddy List. If you're already on the Buddy List, the good news is that we're giving away three prizes, as you just heard, from PC Tools, from Logitech, and from Steganos. And you can see all of them at ComputerAmerica.com. You can see them all there. And we just put up the Privacy Suite from Steganos there. Just click on it. Check it out. It's a really cool product. I think you'll find it interesting. Larry Bushy continues on with us. He is the creator and host of the Going Linux podcast. We're almost up at the top of the hour, Larry. When we come back, we got a bunch of emails that people have written to you and have questions on Linux. And so when we come back, one of the first things I like to do is read some of those emails and get some answers to that, if you're up to it. You feeling up to it?
Absolutely, sure.
Okay.
Oh, good. I'm feeling the pressure off of me now. Thank you. Starting to sweat over here.
Yeah. So we'll have some of those emails that for the show that we can we'll read as well. And just for, you know, people to know, if they want to see more about the podcast, they just go over to the website itself is the goinglinux.com, right? Goinglinux.com, and it'll take you there.
That's exactly right.
You can see all of it there, and you can listen to the podcast there. You can read all the you can see the Linux video, and you got all you can see all about that. You can in the technology podcast. You can see them, subscribe to them. It's all up there at goinglinux.com. As I said, we have another full hour of Linux coming at you here on the Computer America Show. If you're listening, we're going to break for the top of the hour local news and national news that you hear from your Business Talk Radio Network and Lifestyle Talk Radio Network affiliate. And then we will rejoin Larry for another thrilling hour of Linux as we continue on with more Computer America.
The opinions you hear on the Business Talk Radio Network are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of this station, Business Talk Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Business Talk Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Investing involves risks. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about the Business Talk Radio Network, contact us at 203-323-7300 or at our website, businesstalkradio.net.
Broadcasting live, it's the only national radio talk show on computers to air every weeknight, Computer America, hosted by national columnist Craig Crossman. The first hour's behind us, but there's still more of tech news, tech talk, and your phone calls. We're being beamed nationwide by the Business Talk Radio Network, the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network, and on the internet at ComputerAmerica.com. You got computer problems? Bring them on. You're listening to Computer America. Computers run the world, and we run computers. Call us toll-free, 866-606-TALK. That's 866-606-TALK. Or send us an email to live@computeramerica.com.
Hello and welcome into hour two of the nation's longest-running, nationally syndicated radio talk show on computers. This is the Computer America Show, and I'm your host, Craig Crossman.
I'm your co-host, Kerry Holzman.
And if you're just joining us, we continue on with our theme of Linux tonight. The third Tuesday of the month is dedicated to the topic of Linux. It's an important operating system, and we find that lots of people are interested in it, and so we continue to talk about it and answer your questions. Joining us is our Linux expert, Larry Bushy. He continues on with us in this hour. He's the creator and the host of the Going Linux podcast. Hey, Larry, welcome back. And we're going to look at in hour two, we're going to go to some of the emails that you've been getting here. And why don't we kind of go right out of the gate here and start when I believe you got one from Brian, who you believe is in New York.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure where he is, but he wrote in to us and said that he was okay, I don't have his word-for-word email here, right?
Yeah, he sent us an email with a link to the Ubuntu Pocket Guide. Ubuntu is a very popular free Linux distribution from Canonical. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So you have it. So in today's economy, free is attractive, but this isn't your stripped-down computer program. The Pocket Guide could be just the thing to get you started with the switch to a replacement for Windows that can insulate you from viruses and spyware. Comes pre-installed with a Firefox web browser, a photo management software, a full Office suite for your Excel and Word documents. It's all free, regularly updated, and has a whole library of additional free software for virtually everything you want to do with a computer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a little paragraph that he had sent us from the UbuntuPocketGuide.com website. And on that website, for people looking at Linux for the first time, Ubuntu is a very popular version of Linux, or distribution as it's known, of Linux, because it is one of the most user-friendly and one of the most Windows-friendly, friendly to people moving from Windows to Linux, distributions out there. And this Pocket Guide was written by Keir Thomas, who is an author who has written a number of books on Linux, and this particular one he's giving away for free, and you can get it for free at www.ubuntupocketguide.com. It is an excellent resource for somebody just switching over from Windows. It's written in plain English. It's written at a level for someone who, it's not dumbed down, but it's not advanced in any way. It is just straight facts. It walks you through the basics of Linux, and it covers the main things you need to know about Linux when you're used to using Windows. The fact, for example, that on Ubuntu, the equivalent of the start menu, which is the applications menu, is at the top instead of at the bottom. And minor little things like that that might throw the average user off, they cover in this book. And I would recommend it very highly for anyone who is interested in even thinking about trying Linux to download a copy of the book. It's a PDF, so it's a very small file, and it's excellent reading. Even if you decide, no, after reading this thing, I don't want to try Linux. It sounds a little bit too complicated. I think you'd be on the other side of the fence after reading this one.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. And you say it's not dumbed down.
Right.
It's easier to look at and addresses the problem. So you go along with all of this. You agree with it. You recommend it.
The book.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I really do. You can buy it on Amazon for $10, but you can download it for free from the internet. And you know, if you're buying a free operating system, why not buy a free book too?
Why not? Why not?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's move along. You got another email here from Nate with a couple of questions here.
Yeah, let me get back to my email screen here. I was looking at the guide site here. Yeah, Nate is in the Chicago suburbs, in the northwest burbs, he says. Mm-hmm. And he writes to us saying, a few months ago, I won an iTouch from a contest at work. Boy, I'd like to work there.
Yeah.
And I found Going Linux. He's talking about our podcast.
Now he said an iTouch. He's talking about the iPod Touch?
I suspect so.
Yeah,
but I think that's what he means.
I think it's an iPod Touch. Right, exactly. Yeah. Okay, all right.
And so he found our website while he was exploring podcasts in iTunes. So it must be an iPod Touch. He subscribed and stayed listening from the beginning, or started listening from the beginning, rather. He says, I am currently at episode 53, the home networking episode. This episode that we're recording right now, just kind of an aside, it will be episode 57. So he's almost caught up.
Almost, yeah.
Yeah, and he continues saying, I have dabbled in Linux since the late 1990s, but nothing that would get me past newbie. I'm currently trying out Kubuntu 8.10, which is a different flavor of Ubuntu, but still in the same family. And he says he's using it as a virtual machine under Sun VM VirtualBox in Windows XP. He said, I've been hearing you talk about the CompuS iCandy and wanted to see what that might be all about. Let me make another aside here for those who don't know what the heck I'm talking about. Linux comes with a lot of whiz-bang features that allow you to fade windows in and out, make things transparent, put fire on the screen, and one of those programs is called CompuS, C-O-M-P-I-Z, and that's what he's talking about here as iCandy. He continues saying, I found it in a repository and installed it. I messed with the settings but wasn't able to get it to work. So I shut down and left it for another day. When I rebooted into the login screen, it seemed okay, but when it got to the desktop, everything was black and all he had was a mouse pointer. I thought removing CompuS-Core might fix it, which is the program that he installed. So I got to a terminal and ran sudo apt get remove compiz-core, which is the command line version of installing and uninstalling software. He continues, after logging back in, I just got the same black screen. Any suggestions on how to fix this installation? I loved learning about things with the break it, fix it method. Thanks, guys. Well, he definitely broke it, and we can help him fix it. The the thing that he was trying, as I said, was some screen enhancements and Windows enhancements for the Linux desktop. And it doesn't work with some video cards. It doesn't work with some older hardware. And he didn't tell us what version of computer he's using, but I suspect that that was the issue. So I suggested to him in an email response that he uninstall the rest of the CompIz packages because he just installed one of several that got installed. He did that, and I also suggested that he remove a directory or a folder called .compiz. And under Linux, any folder that starts with a dot is a hidden folder, much like there are hidden folders in Windows, there are hidden folders in Linux. And unlike Windows, all of the settings for a software package that you install are contained in, typically, a hidden folder somewhere on your personal home directory. So I suggested he uninstall that, or rather delete that. He tried it. He got back in. After logging back in, everything worked just fine.
There you go.
Yes. He also wrote back after telling us that everything worked just fine, saying, is the correct term
to... I like this. I like this. This ranks right up there with, you know, should the toilet paper be over the roll or under the roll? Okay. I think this next question is in that same category, but go ahead and ask it.
It's a great question. He says, Is the correct term to use now folder instead of directory, or are they still interchangeable? Not really a Linux OS question, more of a social one, but might be interesting to bring up with Tom, my co-host, as well as with Craig and Kerry, you guys. Mm-hmm. Thanks again for your help, Nate. Mm-hmm. Well, Nate, thanks for the question. And, you know, this is something that is not a Linux question alone. It is something from the Windows era as well. And
Mac, too.
And Mac, too, of course. And in the early days of DOS, they were known as directories.
Because they didn't look like little folders.
That's right. Directory comes from the pre-graphic user interface days.
Technically, it's a directory. But when you got graphics and they said, well, we want to make this easier to understand, easier to use, these are the equivalent of being folders to help people understand the concept of the data structure of a hard drive.
Yeah, something that goes inside. Right. It's a container. Yeah, some sort, yeah.
And it looks like a little folder on your graphical user interface. And
Didn't they call it a container on some operating systems?
Yes.
OS 2?
They reached for the thesaurus and found every word of directory, container, folder, you know, holder. You're right.
And I think you'll find that most of the old school guys are call it a directory, and most of the newer folks are going to call it a folder. Depends on how you learned it.
It's just basically a visualization of anything that you. I mean, you can call it a basket if you want. I mean, you can call it anything.
You know
what
it is? You know, just anything with computers. We always have to have like three different words for the same thing, don't we?
Of course.
Anything. It's the idea. The metaphors. Anything you can put something inside of. You know, literally.
In Windows. Is it a swap file, a paging file, or is it virtual memory?
It's an object.
It's an object, exactly.
It's in air, yeah.
It's just we have to have, you know, just to make education, learning it, just that much more difficult, just to make sure you're really dedicated.
Right. Now we have all these
weeds out the week.
Synonyms, you know. It's
and,
pretty much,
you know, when you're using the command line in Linux, typically you refer to it as a directory, which is the equivalent
It's not a bash. When you say when you're at a command prompt in Linux, isn't that a bash?
It's a shell, and
you know,
batch
it's a shell.
Is one variety of shell. Yeah.
Directory is
something typically that's used by, as you mentioned, old school folks who learned it that way, but also typically refer to it in Linux as a directory when you were in the terminal or the bash shell, and you refer to it as a folder in the graphical user interface.
You know, anybody who uses a web browser understands it too, because if you put something /this/that/that, basically what you're doing, you're going into subdirectories. You're doing the same thing. It's the same idea, same concept. There you go. Yeah, one more idea. Hey, we got a break and we'll continue on. This is the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. It's all Linux tonight. You can put that in your directory and smoke it.
Listening to Computer America, the official computer radio talk show of CompUSA.
And you have 1 week left to enter our Computer America contest. We have great prizes. Actually, five of them are from Logitech that we're awarding this month. And along with each of the Logitech prizes we're giving away, we're including a copy of System Mechanic from Iolo Technologies, the PC tune-up experts. You can check them out at www.iolo.com, and you can get any of Iolo's products directly from CompUSA.com. Now, so that means it's a total of 10 prizes, okay? But basically what you do is you go to ComputerAmerica.com, and it says the contest. You can't miss it. Just click on it. The contest ends Friday, February the 20th. That's this coming Friday, huh? Yeah, Carrie, it is. Yeah, right? And winners will be announced on the following Tuesday, February 24th. That's right, when Carrie and I are on the show together.
That's a week from today.
That's right. The winners will be announced. And you can see all the great prizes there. The list, we've got the Harmony one. That's a $250 universal remote with backlit buttons that was just introduced at the CES, a Consumer Electronics Show. The G19 keyboard's a $200 computer keyboard. It's got that incredible color game panel LCD display to show game stats. It's got voice over IP communication data built into the keyboard. It's just one slick keyboard. We also have the DeNovo keyboard we're giving away for either the Windows or Mac. We've got the QuickCam for Windows or Mac and the Purify Express, which is the iPhone, iPod docking station with the amber display on it. It's really nice speakers. All of those we're giving away. Just go to ComputerAmerica.com, click on that Enter the Contest button there, and send an email address to contest at ComputerAmerica.com. And in the email you must have, in order for you to be a valid entry, you have to include your full name, address, and telephone number. We're getting lots of, you know, it's interesting because it's right up there. We say it, but there are a few of you who have entered who don't do that. And you, to be valid, you got to make sure you have your full name, address, and phone number in there so we can make it easy.
Only
for
three
us to
things
contact.
We need. If you don't give them to us, guess what? You're disqualified.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, if you sent it in.
Well, that particular entry is not valid. You can always send it again properly. And
right,
we'll
exactly.
It.
And we'll accept it, okay?
Yeah.
And so just make sure that you're entered. And I said it's the contest ends this Friday, and then we'll announce
the winner.
We want
you to win.
Yes, we do.
We want you to win.
So make sure that you're entered. Okay. All right. In the meantime,
Larry.
Yeah.
Yeah, am I reading this right? These things are worth a lot of money.
Yeah,
wow.
They are.
Yeah.
That Harmony
one. Listen, how much stuff do you give away on your show, Larry? I'm just giving
away Linux CDs, and you can freely download them from the publisher's website. I give those away all the time.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent. We love giving stuff away to our listeners.
Yes.
And,
but you're
just sharing the love.
Your MSRP on these things is a lot higher than anything I've given away, believe me.
You know, that Logitech remote might be running some sort of embedded Linux on it.
It might be. I don't know that for. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah,
I have to ask you a question, and I think I already know the answer, but for the sake of our audience, my mother, uh-huh. I gave her a computer a while back, and she stuck it in a closet. And
what a nice son.
I'm good like that, sure. I'm
yeah,
good with that.
Good.
And she decided, I'm going to pull it out of the closet, blow the dust off of it, plug it in, and start using it. I uh-huh. Mom, you cannot treat a computer like a toaster. You just can't do that. This thing has over 300 megabytes of updates missing from Microsoft, from Service
Ouch.
Pack 3. AVG is old. It needs to be replaced. She's got 7.5. It needs to come off 8.0. Adobe Reader is like 7.08 or something. And, of course, Adobe Reader 9 is available. QuickTime needs to be updated. Java needs to be updated. Flash needs to be updated.
Yep.
Can you do that with a Linux computer, or is that still not recommended because of all the current software, like Flash or any Adobe Reader, any of those others? They're all going to be outdated, and as such, they're not, first of all, not going to have all the features and bells and whistles of the newest version, but potentially they're going to have exploits and vulnerabilities available to them. So I'm curious, if it was a Linux-based computer, would it be okay to stick it in a closet for a year and a half and pull it out 18 months and fire it up and just start using it?
Well, you'd have the same issue. You'd have a lot of your software that would need updated. The nice thing is, as soon as you plugged it into the internet, it would go out and search for updates and download them for you. But it would still need those updates. And if there were any security holes that were patched automatically in any of that software, you would need to apply those updates. Now, with Linux, you can set it up so that it goes out automatically and searches for updates, and you can have it install all of the updates to all of your programs, not just the operating system, all of the programs as well, automatically, or you can have it just automatically install the security updates, and then you pick and choose which other updates you want, or you can have it so that you manually install everything, all of the updates. But it will go out and tell you which programs need updated, that the updates are available, and it'll offer to update them automatically for you if you wanted to. So I think you'd have the same issues with out-of-date software, but certainly you wouldn't
be
have
more apparent.
The same risk that you would with Windows. Because
But my analogy that a computer is not a toaster still applies if you're running
Linux. Oh, it still applies. Absolutely. Absolutely. You wouldn't have the same risk with viruses and spyware because typically the virus and spyware writers aren't writing their wares for Linux. But if there's a security patch out there, there's a reason for it, and you want to make sure you've got them, even under
sure.
Linux.
Yeah, and of course, for the convenience factor of having the latest version of your software and compatibility reasons.
Right, it'll update the full Office suite just automatically for you. Right?
Well, things like Java and things, you want to in Flash, you want to make sure websites appear as they should.
Yes.
All right, this is the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. It's all Linux tonight. 866-606-TALK, the toll-free number, live at computeramerica.com or our chat room at computeramerica.com. We'll continue on with more Linux right after this. Minutes after the hour here on the Computer America Show, 866-606-TALK, the toll-free number, live at computeramerica.com or our chat room at computeramerica.com. All this show, it's we're doing Linux and more Linux. Larry Bushy is the creator and host of the Going Linux podcast. He is with us for both hours here, and between that and reading some of the emails that Larry has gets over the course of the month when he joins us again, we're trying to answer your questions, and we're this show will basically, you know, don't fear the penguin, you know, because it is out there, and as long as you feed it, it will do you no harm.
Exactly. And Don't Fear the Penguin is actually the title of an article that I found on Network World. It's also on PC World in January, and it's by Neil McAllister. We'll include a link in the show notes. It's a 5-page newbie's guide to Linux. We talked about an installation guide, or rather a pocket guide earlier on, and this guide is the one that kind of inspired me to use the theme of Don't Fear the Penguin. It's the title of Neil's article, and it's a very good one. It's got some good tips for everything from installing it to using it and what's available. Kind of, again, a newbie's guide, over 5 pages in PC World.
Yeah. So many people today just want, and I've written countless articles on this, I know Carrie's talked about too, the computer has finally reached the status of being no longer, quote-unquote, the computer. I'm going to sit down. It's just an appliance. You're there. It's there when you use it. When I want to look something up, I don't think of going to the yellow pages anymore, or you know, to the classifieds, the paper. The first thing I think now is go to the computer to get it. You know, it's there. It's just amazing. Just the other night, my wife was watching something on TV. My son was watching something, and she saw a commercial. I think it had something to do with the Wizard of Oz theme, and she's saying, you know, I really. What are the lyrics to the Tin Man? I can get the first, you know, that song about the Tin Man, and if I only had a brain, something like that. I really want like know what the first three lines of that is. And she looked at me and said, can you find out what that is? Now, I walked into the computer, Googled it, boom, I had it in like less than 15 seconds. I had it, and I had it printed out. And I walked in the room, and I walked out, and I handed her a sheet with the entire lyrics on it so you could look at it. And she's reading it, and she's going, oh. And I said to her, and I said, just stop for a moment. I said, you know, 10, 15 years ago, maybe not even that long, or certainly 20 years ago, if you would ask me that same thing, you know, what would I have had to do? I would have either go to the library. I would have had to go somewhere. I couldn't have access to just about virtually the sum total of all knowledge of humankind at my fingertips in over there in the room there. I could walk in and find that kind of information instantly. It was just, I took like a little moment of silence to think about that, and it's true. You know, it's so easy. Now, I had a point in bringing all this up, but the music is not going to let me get there. So we'll continue on with this. It is all Linux, and we'll continue on. We're just going to break for 60 seconds. This is the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. 866-606-TALK, the toll-free number, live at ComputerAmerica.com. Or a chat room at ComputerAmerica.com. We'll be right back. 60 seconds. Don't go anywhere.
America Show broadcast live on the Business and Lifestyle Talk Radio Networks, coast to coast and around the world through the web at ComputerAmerica.com. And also available at iTunes and
yeah.
ComputerAmericaArchives.com and
yeah.
TechPodcast.com and
yeah.
Blueberry Network and so before you said you were about to make a point about how
yeah.
technology that you
well,
just go to the and we've done the same thing. We've been sitting down, my fiance and I, and you're just, where have we seen that guy before? Who's that guy? And he,
right.
the guy in Lie to Me. That's Tim Roth. Where do
yeah,
we Tim, know Tim
oh,
Roth?
Oh gosh, so he's
then,
a
you know
I like
boom,
that series.
You know, comes up.
Have you, I've got hooked on that too. I watched the first one and
they're recorded on a DVR for that one day when I have extra time.
Yeah, it's actually quite enjoyable. Tim Roth is a class actor. I mean he really
does. But this is an example of the power
yeah.
of the internet. I mean,
yeah.
instantly, instead
yeah.
of sitting there going, oh, I know that guy. Where have I seen him before? And
gangster
beat myself
movies.
Up for like a, and then you go to bed at like, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, you go, oh, that's where the guy's from. Now I know it. Now that all that misery is gone.
God, yeah.
Because you just go right to Google or whatever a search
yeah.
engine and just pull that information right up.
You literally have, the, as I said, just about the sum total of all knowledge of humankind at your fingertips. It's there for you to find it. And
maybe not good if you're a hypochondriac.
20 years ago, you just had to do it differently, and the which was my opening statement as I was leading to my point, huh?
You had to sing along, singing the wrong lyrics.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Well, you know, and Let me give you another example. I went and I looked for some old photographs. Or I found some, looked through some old photographs rather, and found some of my trip to Yellowstone. I have no idea how I booked that trip to Yellowstone, how I booked the hotels,
oh.
how I knew which airport to fly into, because no planes fly to
yeah.
Anywhere near Yellowstone, really. I mean, the closest I think I could get was Idaho Falls. And I think it was just through talking to people. I think they said, well, you need to do mm. this. You know, people that had done it before. I think that's how I did it. And then, of course, calling AAA and getting a little
oh,
map.
A map tick,
but
yeah.
But it was all done over the phone, making the reservations, making plane reservations, making the car rental, the hotel reservations. But I don't know how
it's
I got the information
manual.
To know where the hotels were or how I planned the trip out. But I mean, I did a really good job at it, but
yeah.
I don't know how I did it. I
it took a lot more effort than what you
I
could
do I don't
remember
now. How I did it.
Yeah.
Isn't
yeah,
that weird?
It is. We've become so dependent on the resources that are available to you when you go online that just were not available to you, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago. You had to do things differently. And again, my son was sitting there. He just turned 18. I mean, kids now have grown up with this. They learn to accept. They have their cell phones. It's all, but you, they take it for granted. And I guess
yeah, they don't know any different.
And they should.
You'll enjoy this.
Yeah.
My sister was driving in the car with her son, and he's like 4 years old, 4 or 5
yeah.
years old.
Uh-huh.
And he heard something on the radio, and he goes, "Mom, play that back." She goes, "I can't play it back." Goes, "What do you mean you can't play it back? Just hit
yeah.
rewind."
Yeah,
she goes,
exactly.
"It's live radio, dear." And he's like.
Yeah.
He looked at her like she was
like
you know,
nuts. Yeah, because he doesn't have
DVR.
Talking
about you can't
yeah.
rewind it.
Well,
he doesn't know a world where you can't just rewind it and play
DVR.
Back.
Yeah. Well, actually, they have replay radio now too, where you can't
well,
do that. But,
yes, well,
yeah. Exactly. But there
she
is
doesn't a, have that radio.
Exactly. But you're right. The kids take it for granted.
Kids today.
Yeah, I know. But you know, it's okay.
They don't know about walking up the hill.
That's right.
In the
both
snow,
way. Both ways.
2 miles.
Yeah. Both ways. Yes, I know. But the thing is. The point that I was kind of leading up to here is with the Linux. My concern is a lot of people who do buy the computer who finally are buying it for that reason. They've seen it. They want access. They want this information. It's going to be in the kitchen. It's going to be just another appliance. Mm-hmm. And my point to you is does Linux really factor in for that scenario? In other words, the person they're just going to buy, they'll get a Windows, they put it up, they're done, or they have a Mac, they turn it on, it's out of the box, done. Linux, it's a little, it's still, you have to, you don't really get Linux necessarily out of a box. I mean, you can, but it's not as complex. And I guess my question to you is, for people who just want to use the computer as an appliance, and that is Linux going to be okay for them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There is enough software on the already installed on the average Linux installation that the user who wants to use it as an appliance to check email, to maybe write a letter, check the website, it's all there. It's all ready to go. It all works out of the box. There is nothing else to install. You can use it as an appliance. The thing I would caution is it's more of an appliance like your dishwasher than it is like a toaster. The toaster, unless you've got a super advanced one, doesn't have software in it.
Yeah.
And many dishwashers today, too.
Do. Yes, they do. Oh,
and
yeah.
Even if they don't, you still have to do maintenance.
Mine
you still
only has
have
Tupperware.
To wipe it down. You still have to clean it. You have to make sure that the screen that filters out the food at the bottom is cleaned out. You have to do some maintenance.
Your
computer as an appliance. You have to make sure it's connected to the Internet, and at the very least, set it up so it installs the updates automatically. And if you do just that, you're set. You don't really have to do anything else if you really want to use it as an appliance. So I'd say
I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to extend my vision of the future, because I think Linux may be the operating system of the future. I think it's poised to take over, I'm going to say, in 10, 15, 20 years, when we have all the applications on the web, and all you need is a browser. I think there'll be no need for Microsoft anymore. There won't be any need for Apple anymore. You're just going to have a thin screen, maybe even touch screen, to do everything you need to do. All your software's on the web. All your data's on the web. And except for the people who use it in business and things where they have to have laptops or scanners or, you know, things like that plugged in, for the average consumer and the average user, I think that...
So you're saying
that is going to be the perfect world, and then when it comes to repairing, there won't be any special tools I'll need to diagnose it, because they'll be so inexpensive. You'll just take it, trade it in, get another one. You know, they'll be $100, whatever.
So you're saying the vision of Larry Ellison is in fact going to come true? He didn't call it cloud computing.
Well, thin clients, you know, still sort of relied on a master server for in a workplace environment. It's similar.
So it's similar, but it's not cloud computing. And what you're talking about is cloud computing.
I'm talking cloud computing, and I'm saying that once we accept cloud computing, once the options are available, you won't want Windows. It'll be a burden.
You'll need a browser.
You'll have to wait longer to burn
Windows.
What will your browser be running in?
Linux.
Ah,
a very lightweight Linux Firefox type browser.
And that's it.
And that will be your operating system.
Sure.
And it'll just be on the firmware. The thing will boot up in a Linux embedded system. It'll boot right up into the browser. You're done.
Right. No storage, nothing. It's all there.
Many laptop computers these days, I'm not talking about the netbooks now, but many laptop computers are doing just that today. They boot into Linux before they boot into Windows, and many of those with that quick start, it's not called quick start, but there's some other marketing name.
You're talking about with the DVD player thing built in?
Yeah, that might be it. But there's also something where they have sped up the boot time by having it boot into Linux first, where you can do web browsing and some basic functions. More than that, you then tell it to boot into Windows.
Right.
So they're doing that now, and that technology is exactly what you're talking about.
I think that's going to be a perfect world. Like we were just talking
about,
when Steve Bass sends me his newsletter to edit, Steve's still doing it the old way. He sends me an attachment and email.
Typewriter.
I think attachments and email are
going to
go away.
Typewriter. Yeah, he's listening.
We're still doing it sort of the old way. And I would love to see attachments go away. I would love to see just links to the file. That's what I want to see in collaboration. And that I'm not going to have to download a file in order to read your file. I don't have to worry about what version of Acrobat. Like, you used Acrobat 9. I've got Acrobat 6. I can't open the file. I got to go download Acrobat 9. I want to see just put it all on the web. We're all using the same version. Mm-hmm. And because we're not installing any software, we're not updating any software, heck, that's when your crashes and your problems occur, generally, is when you'd make a change.
Guess what else?
Anything you need to change.
Guess what else goes away? Viruses, malware.
Yep.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, there'll still be that issue.
It's a cloud, but again, a cloud virus.
Let's say a website got tampered with, okay, and they put some malicious code on it. If you're running a Linux-based browser in a Linux-based operating system, probably won't affect you. Or, you know, again, we're talking the future now, but I'm seeing this as sort of my perfect vision of the future really does include there's no Windows or Mac in it. It's a Linux-based system. So for all those people
Larry likes that
still think I'm anti-Linux. I just think Linux is not – Linux is ahead of its time, and I think the general populace at this point is not, in general, ready for it yet, but they will be.
All right. There's a prediction. Hey, we got a break? That's my prediction, and it's coming true as I speak. And we'll continue on. This is Computer America. It's 54 minutes after the hour here on the Computer America Show. Time flies when you're talking about Linux. But that's exactly what we've been doing with Larry Bushy, creator and host of the Going Linux podcast. Larry, if people give us a little more information about the podcast, the Going Linux podcast itself. Now, this is just how often does a new episode of Going Linux appear?
We have 3 episodes a month. We have listeners.
Boy, you got it easy, man.
I know.
We got to crank out 5 a week here, man. He's doing 3 a month.
Wait, how long is each episode? Like 20 hours?
No. I don't make up for it in volume.
Oh.
No, typically our episodes are anywhere between 20 and 40 minutes long, and like I said, we have 3 episodes a month. You can find them at goinglinux.com. You can download them from the website, listen to them on the website. You can find us on iTunes. You can put the XML link or the RSS feed into your podcatching software, and you can find that link on our website as well, goinglinux.com.
And it's free to get to it, download it?
Absolutely free. The support is free. You can email us, and I'll even email you back for free.
Okay.
Price is right.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't charge for supporting a free operating system. Now, can I?
You can always try.
Yes.
But
there would be something terribly ironic about that if you charge for it.
Acupuncture, the needles go in for free. It just costs money to take them out.
That's right.
There's
no such thing as a free lunch. Hey, Larry, I tell you, this is always fun and
educational.
And educational, and we certainly appreciate you appearing on the program and doing this with us every third Tuesday of the month. And we certainly look forward to you next.
He even puts the show notes together for us.
Yes,
they're
he
so
does.
Well
yeah,
makes
that's
my job so easy.
Supporting everybody.
That's
I
right.
need a Larry OS. That's what I need.
Larry OS. There you
he
go.
Just does everything for me.
That's it. Yeah. Hey, Larry, thanks so much for being with us tonight. And we look forward to you again next month, okay?
Absolutely.
All right. Have a good evening. Good night now, Larry.
Night.
Bye-bye. All right, so that about wraps up the show for tonight. Now, tomorrow night is Wednesday.
Wacky Wednesday.
Madness.
Oh,
wacky,
Wednesday Madness. Wacky Wednesday is something else.
Yeah,
entirely.
No, Wednesday Madness, yes, it's tomorrow night.
You know what we do on Wednesday Madness?
What do we do?
Whatever we want. And here's the beauty of it. If you have a question regarding anything, you can email it to us right now, and we'll address it live on the radio during – you'll hear your name, if you like. You'll hear your question addressed on a Wednesday Madness show. You can also send us a voicemail. You know, we haven't mentioned our voicemail line in a long time.
No, we haven't. Yeah. Just go to computeramerica.com. Right there on the homepage, you'll see a little red telephone. It's kind of cute.
That's right.
Yeah.
And a dial on it.
Yeah, there's a dial on it. But
here's the way it works.
Yeah.
Here's the way it works. It's in area code 828. So if you're not in area code 828, it's probably going to be a long-distance call for you. But if you've got free long-distance, great. 828-348-4444. You can call that number anytime, 24-7, 828-348-4444. If you don't want to make the long distance call, use Skype. Tell it you want to call Computer America, but run the words together as one long word, Computer America.
Yep.
And you can use a microphone and headphones to work as a telephone, and you'll hear a voicemail message that says, hey, it's Craig. You'll hear Craig's cheerful voice.
Yep.
And when you hear the tone, leave your message, and we will play your voice back. You'll hear yourself on the radio.
On Wednesday Madness, we read your feedbacks, your emails, all that stuff. Happens on Wednesday Madness. You never know. Somebody, you know, crazy might stop in too from time to time. We get surprise guests. So that's all happens on Wednesday Madness.
It has to be.
Yes. And they certainly, yeah. Well, anyway, we're out of time. So until tomorrow night, this is Craig Crossman hoping that your hard disk never becomes floppy. See you tomorrow night.
Good night, everyone.
The opinions you hear on the Business Talk Radio Network are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of this station, Business Talk Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Business Talk Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Investing involves risks. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about the Business Talk Radio Network, contact us at 203-323-7300 or at our website, businesstalkradio.net.
Music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.